lift up a standard on the windswept mountains, raise your voice to them.
Joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall live and tell of the works of the Lord. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall live and tell of the works of the Lord. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in. Hallelujah. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous.
Praise you, Lord. Let's shout unto the Lord together. Praise you, Lord God. The shouts of the Lord are in your dwelling, Father.
Hallelujah. We shout your victory today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. This is Brother Joseph, amen, coming at you live here on Facebook. It's 9:04 in the morning, and today is October the 2nd, 2022, glory to God. And I just want to thank everyone for this opportunity to come before you. I want to thank the Lord, hallelujah, obviously, for giving me the grace, amen, to do the work of God, amen. I mean, you know, it takes grace to do God's work, amen. There's so much going on out there in the world that, you know, if you focus on it too long, it'll definitely discourage you, amen. But thank God that we're constantly being encouraged in the Lord, amen. We're constantly being renewed in spirit, amen. Renewed life being released out of our spirits, amen. Amen, unto the Lord, amen. Not seeking the honor that comes from man, right? Man, I love that scripture where Jesus said that. Let me see if I can locate that. I think it's in John chapter 5. Verse 12, John chapter 5. No, that's not it. Yeah, here it is. It is John chapter 5, but not 12. So, verse 20, he says, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you might marvel." Now, the Lord gave me a revelation on that verse here. It says that he's going to show him. So, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him. So, you know, when you don't have anybody in your confidence, you can't necessarily trust them, right? With, let's say you have a business and you have plans for a business and that whole principle of starting it up and everything, the foundation that has to be laid, the land that has to be acquired and so on. You know, you want to be wise in your building and your construction, a brand new business, right? But you have to find people that are going to represent your heart, right? Represent your vision, right? Well, it's the same thing here. The Lord loveth the Son and showeth him all things. So only the sons of God get revealed the plan of God, amen, the purpose, amen, the mystery. And obviously the plan was to take back what the enemy had taken from humanity, right? And he did that through the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, he says here in verse 21, "For as the Father raises up the dead," glory to God, and I've been meditating on this and ministering it and sharing it, this resurrection of the dead, and what that all, you know, what it comes down to, right? And so he says, "And quickeneth them." Well, I've shared this already many times. The word "quicken" is the word zupoel. And it says to revitalize in the Strong's, right? Vitalize. Get you back vital, right? Well, you know, have you ever been around an individual that have no motivation? They're depressed, right? They have no motivation. They don't want to move forward. They don't want to advance, right? Well, that's exactly where the enemy wants humanity and mankind to be at. He doesn't want us to advance, obviously, in the kingdom, amen, the kingdom of God. Because in the expansion of the kingdom of God in your heart, you're taking over the ground that the enemy once owned in spirit in your life. And eventually you become this big tree, as Jesus said, and now everybody's able to come to you and lodge there. In other words, you can give them rest, you can give them reassurance, you can give them confidence, you can build them up, you can strengthen them, right? You can make them alive, amen, as it says here, and quicken it. You can bring these things forth out of your spirit, man, amen. And again, vitalize is the word, it just simply means to actify, to activize, to animate, to arm, to build up. So you can do this out of your spirit, right? Because now you become this large tree, amen. Now you're a strong foundation, amen. You're a strong foundation of the Lord because your foundation is in Christ, amen. And so now you can provide these things and bring back the fold, bring back everyone to divine favor, right? 2 Corinthians 5:18. Let me go to that. Wow. 5:18. It says that, let's see here. Yeah, and all, I'm sorry, verse 8:19, to wit that God was in Christ. Okay, so God was in Christ doing the same work that he wants to do through you and me, brothers and sisters. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Well, reconciling, right? Reconciling, to exchange it, is to change, to compound a difference, to change back where you were in current state, right, to save you, right, salvation. Not necessarily just salvation so that you could escape and get to heaven, which, as I was discussing with my sons yesterday, is that, you know, that's the lie of the enemy, that the people that when they go out and evangelize, do you want to live forever? Well, whether you're with God or not with God, you're still going to live forever. Your soul is going to be alive forever. The question is, where do you want to be at, with God or without God? All right? So, and again, all things are of God, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The word world is the word cosmos. So in Christ, God was reconciling, bringing back and exchanging, taking them out of one environment and bringing them into another environment, taking them out of an environment of chaos and confusion, right, utter destruction, murders, hates, you know, hatred, you know, all these poverty, right, these situations, you know, that mankind is involved in, right, because of the oppression of the enemy. And again, the enemy doesn't want anybody to advance and go forward. He doesn't want anybody to resurrect. He doesn't want you to discover that this life of God, Jesus Christ, amen, that came down to the earth, God in Christ, amen, reconciling the world unto himself, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, amen, not belittling them and taking them down, not computing, not calculating what they had done wrong. He didn't care about any of that. All he wanted was his people to get back with him. And the only way he could do that is he had to restore his relationship to his people, and he did that through Jesus Christ. Amen. Reconciling the world to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation here is a Greek word, katalache, and in the Strong's it says exchange, that is restoration to the divine favor. Glory to God. God wants us to be just like Jesus Christ, and that we're restoring humanity back to the divine favor of God. Because again, something happened way back in the day in the Garden of Eden, right? I had a young I don't know if she's a sister in the Lord, but she's religious, and she said to me, what sin did Eve commit? In other words, she's trying to make a justification for her own position or woman. She thinks male and female are equal. Okay, well, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But the point is that something happened. A door was opened now to humanity that wasn't open before. Of course, there was only two humans, and it was Adam and Eve. But now, because the enemy understood the order of authority, amen, he understood authority. He understood that if he can get you out from under the authority of God, guess what? You're going to be under the authority of the darkness, the authority of Satan, in other words. And he understood this, and so therefore he planted the seed that says, surely God knows. Well, right there, he's casting doubt. He's causing mankind to cast doubt towards God. And because of that, they did something and partook of something that they shouldn't have partaken of. And because of that, God's covering had to be lifted and removed from them. The covering, the protection. All right? So the enemy understood this. And so now we have humanity everywhere that's under the oppression of Satan, all right? So, the purpose of a son of God, right? I think it's, let me see here. What is the purpose of the son of God, right? What is the purpose of a son of God? Let's see here. It's 1 John 3:8. Take a look at that with me. 1 John 3:8. So, what is the purpose of a son, right? Well, one thing he's supposed to be doing is right here. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, I'm sorry, yeah. He that committeth sin is of the devil and sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, praise God, was the Son of God manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, the works of the devil, the effect of the results, in other words, the fruit of satanic activity and the demonic activity in our lives is the chaos, the confusion, the poverty, sickness and disease, you see. And all this because mankind doesn't want to come to know the Lord. All right. But again, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested. I mean, for the devil sinned from the beginning. The beginning was is that Adam and Eve, right? He caused them to disobey God. All right. And so then Cain and Abel, right? He as it says here, let's see here. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. All right? So you got one under the authority of God, one under the authority of Satan. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. All right? Now he's getting to something here. He's getting ready to make a point here. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. All right? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, all right, his father was the devil, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him, murder him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous, man. So don't marvel, he says, don't be astonished or you know, don't freak out because the world hates you. See? And so we know that we pass from death unto life if we love the brethren. Well, again, it's not just about getting people born again, right? It's about bringing sons into maturity, the sons of God, the daughters and the sons of God into maturity and bringing them unto the Father. But before we present them before God, they got to be trained and they got to be discipled. And we need to make disciples and train the body of Christ. Now, not under the hat of the Babylonian system, right? Because this won't work in the Babylonian system. Making disciples and presenting them before God the Father can only happen in the kingdom of God. I mean, the things that I'm preaching, the things that I teach and share from the kingdom of God, a brother or sister that's involved in a Babylonian system, all right, they might see it. But again, Satan comes immediately to take away the word. So Satan's going to do everything he can to dissuade and discourage anyone from coming into the kingdom of God. And how can you come into something if you don't come out of something? Well, that's what the church is. The church is a Greek word, ecclesia, and it means the two KKs, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. KK is called out of the world, called out of religion, called unto God. Amen? And this thing about dead works, right? Hebrews chapter 6, right? I haven't read this one in a while, but let's go to it. Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Remember, when Paul was writing, and when these brothers were writing these words, prophets, Old Testament, whatever, they didn't write in chapter and verse. It's you know, it got brought together in chapter and verses now, and so chapter 1 is a continuation of obviously the preceding verses to that. So he says here, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, number one. And so that's what I'm saying, because his works were evil. Cain thought that he could bring something to God, and Abel brought his best. Amen. And so the works that he presented were dead works. It wasn't for the glory of God, it was for his own glory and his own recognition. And that's where mankind, you know, gets hung up in that they think it's all about them. My success, my promotion, my exaltation, right? Not my depression, not my going down, not my de-escalation, right? Not my unpromotion, right? In other words, nobody wants to glorify something that's something going down, or a condition that's, you know, decomposing, dead, dying. Everybody wants to go up. It's innate, inerrant in a man, woman of God's, you know, people that are out there in the world that aren't even serving God, plants and animals, trees, everything is trying to go up. And isn't it a wonder when Paul brought this topic up when he was, you know, when he was in chains and stuff, and he perceived that, you know, there was two camps here, and all he did was drop one statement, and he had to mention resurrection of the dead. And man, these guys got into it. They started arguing, and all of a sudden the focus and the attention was on Paul. So we understand now that this is a very important understanding and teaching, right? And in our foundational principles. As a matter of fact, resurrection of the dead, if I go on and read on here, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, not faith toward stuff. Faith has a direction. God's word, amen, is what how faith works. Faith, how faith gets produced. Of the doctrine of baptisms, there's seven baptisms, the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. All right? And so anyway, it's a very important foundational principles for us to understand and to walk in and to live in. And this is where I believe that God has me in this resurrection of the dead. In my season, in my relationship with the Father, amen, God is teaching me about going up, amen. Not for the purpose of my own glory, right? He's not blessing me so that I can be a blessing unto myself. The less is blessed of the greater. He's trying to build you up, strengthen you, edify, fortify you, build you up. Let me go back to that. Praise God, man. These scriptures start rolling. I haven't even prayed this morning. Oh, man. And so he says here, verse 21, John 5, 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them. This word quickeneth is so important. And then he says, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. In other words, as a mature son or daughter of God, you begin to understand how to size and measure, how to locate where the body of Christ is. In other words, you got a brother or sister in front of you, you immediately start sizing and measuring and where are they in their love and affection for Jesus Christ and for the Word of God and for the kingdom of God. Where is this individual, right? So it says, even so as the Father, for the Father loveth the Son, right? Verse 20, and then he says, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them. So in other words, to raise up is to actify, to activize, to animate, to arm, to build up, to electrify, to empower, to enable, to enliven, to excite, to exhilarate, fortify, amen, electrify, build up, zap up, trigger up. All these words that indicate of like I said, the desire in humanity to go up, amen. And praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this precious time right now. That I thank you for your precious anointing, your strength, O God. And I thank you for how you quicken us, O God, according to your word, amen. You cause this word to be made alive to our spirits, amen, that we might be delivered up, delivered out from the grip of the enemy and from his perversions and chaos and confusion that he's constantly seeking to bring into our lives. Amen. But we shut the door to demonic activity right now. We say no to the devil. We say yes to God. Amen. And I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Father. I thank you for my precious brothers and sisters that are partaking of this bread of life. Amen. You are the resurrection, Jesus. You are the life, glory to God. And we celebrate you right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness, O God, and how that you were a faithful son, how that you provided a pattern for us, O God, a pattern for us in how we should live and conduct and walk in our daily lives, Father God, in our relationship towards the Father. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for this precious time, Father. I love you, Father, and I bless you. Hallelujah. So, again, quicken it whom we will, right? So we're constantly making alive. And, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, purposely try to think of a situation to get involved in or whatever, wherever I'm at, wherever I'm going, right? And, you know, these charismas, right, they work in our hearts, all right? One thing I constantly am doing is helping individuals understand their graces. And they may not even know the Lord. But in certain situations, like at my workplace, right, I let individuals know the things God shows me about them, see, and they see. And I'm not necessarily telling them, thus saith the Lord, da-da-da-da, you know. And sure enough, every time, you know, these people acknowledge these charismas as I describe them to them. And they're so blessed by that because they understand a little bit about themselves and how our Creator constructed them. Amen. Now, let's get to a verse here that I want to, among the many that we've already shared, but that's all right. In Psalms chapter 62, he says, to the chief musician, verse 1, and Jeduthun. I love that word, Jeduthun. It means Jehovah, praising, in other words, praising. And it says here, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him my salvation. Now that tells us quite a few things there, but the soul has to wait, amen. And it's not about when you think you're ready, amen, and when you think you should be getting blessed or whatever, right? The soul has to wait, all right? And this teaches us a principle about, you know, about God in our lives and how that we have to wait on God for his directions, his plans. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 8, all right, verse 14, he says that counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I understand, because am is italicized, I understand, I am understanding, I have strength. See, advices and purposes and plans belong to the Lord. No other person has the right or the place to bring that breath and that direction from God in your life except the Lord. And sound wisdom is the word tashia, which means enterprise. Enterprise means a risky undertaking. So if you're thinking about getting involved in a business, for example, you know, you're going to start doing all your due diligence about it, right? And then he says here, I am understanding. In other words, you can't have understanding if you don't understand. So I understand, praise God, and I have strength, glory to God. I've got enough forces, I've got enough resources, I've got enough of everything that you need, glory to God, to push you over the edge and cause you to go up and resurrect in Jesus' name. From something that was nothing, speaking those things that be not as though they were, glory to God, proclaiming, amen. And so again, you know, it belongs to the Lord, all right? That place, amen, that you know, when you're waiting on God, amen, you're waiting from orders from headquarters, amen, if you want to do it the way of God, all right? Now, if you want to do it your own way, then you know, by all means, you know, go ahead and do it. But as the scripture says, you know, man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps, right? And so, man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps, amen. And I appreciate that about the Father, amen. And I thank God that he's constantly reassuring and encouraging his people, amen. And praise God. So the soul is to wait on the Lord, all right, upon him. From him cometh my salvation. Now, I was looking at this, and I wasn't necessarily looking to add or build up on anything that God has already been revealing to me, amen, by the Holy Ghost, praise God. And then I was looking at this word salvation, right? And I guess one of the things that kind of drew me was that I was discussing with a couple of young ladies at work, and one of them said, you know, her boyfriend is, his name is Joshua. And I mentioned to her that, you know, that's a Hebrew word, Yeshua, which is the word for Jesus. But the point is that, you know, I guess maybe that's what triggered the thought, but now, and looking at it, it is the word Yeshua, which is the word for Jesus Christ, Jesus in the Hebrew. And the definition is salvation, deliverance, welfare, prosperity, salvation, victory. Something saved, that is deliverance. Victory or prosperity, aid. I mean, you know, you think about the way of the world and how they're doing all this aid for the people, right? Man, so much poverty, man. They're trying to bring the people up through the carnal means, right? And none of them, you know, mankind not educated or trained how to handle and manage finances. And anyway, it's just like pouring water through a bucket that's got a hole in it. It's just going right out. Nothing, in other words, emptiness. So salvation, all right, one of the words here is, it says welfare. Now, I got to looking at that word welfare, the thesaurus, and here are some of the synonyms for this word. Prosperity, all right, advance, boast, development, expansion. So God alone is my salvation, he says, right? God alone is my advancement. God alone is my boost. Praise God. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him comes my salvation. From him comes my boost. From him comes my gain, my growth, my improvement, my increase, my inflation, my jump, my prosperousness, my push, my spurt, all right, my upsurge, my upswing, my upturn. From him comes, glory to God, resurrection life. Amen. And we have to understand the way of God and his whole design in bringing Jesus Christ and why he did this. Because he was tired of seeing his people under the authority of Satan and under the authority of darkness. He was tired of seeing the people the way they are in poverty and disease, depression, oppression, all these mental conflicts in the mind of man. Because man has been barraged for so long through the work of the enemy and the effect of sin. Right? He's tired of all that. And the only way to get back mankind under his protection is he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God. And through that, now, the door, right? The door to the darkness of Satan has been shut down. Now, take a look here. Let me look at something here. So, again, shutting the door to the demonic darkness, right? And if you look at some of the words in verse 5, chapter 6, Psalm 62, 5, my soul, wait thou only for upon God, for my expectation is from him. My hope is in God, amen. What I expect in life, amen, that inspiration on what to know what to expect comes from God. And I know God doesn't want me to be in a state of non-resurrection, in a state where I'm not constantly going up, moving forward, advancing in the Lord. I know that's not God, because look at all of creation that's testifying of God. Like I said, it's inherent in a man to want to move forward, for mankind to want to push in advance. And I know this, amen? And this is what I expect. My expectation is from him. And then he says in verse 6, he only is my rock again and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. When you're on the foundation, amen, the foundation of Jesus Christ, all right? No matter what kind of pressure or situation comes at you, you're going to stand strong and solid, glory to God. And there's a world of difference between individuals that when the pressure comes, they buckle and break down immediately versus those that know how to stand on the word, know how to stand on Jesus Christ, know how to stand on the Father, amen, and the integrity of God's word. And therefore, when the pressure comes, they're solid, amen. And you can rely on that. You can trust on that. That's dependable. That's being faithful, amen, reliable. Verse 7, he says, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. You see, in the way of God and what God set up for us through Jesus Christ. Now, verse 8, trust in him at all times. Now, ye, in the King James, is italicized. Right? Verse 8, 6 to 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Not ye people, I'm sorry. I want to read this without ye. Trust in him at all times. Semicolon. People, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. Pour out your heart before him. Amen. Trust in him at all times. People, pour out your heart before him. Now, which one is it here? I'm sorry. Hold on. Pour out. Yeah, the word pour out. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. Pour out your heart before him. I'm looking for something here that I had it this morning. But so, in other words, oh yeah, that's right. It's in another. It's another Psalm. Psalm chapter 34. Take a look at this real quick. And again, what is God trying to bring us to, amen? Well, he wants us to depend on him, amen. All right. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their crying. So the preceding verse, chapter 62:8 Psalms, he says, trust in him at all times. People, pour out your heart before him. Cry out to the Lord. He says here now, Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In other words, your heart and your attitude in your life, by the inspiration of your spirit, you should also have that built into your character where you're against them that do evil. The demonic realm that is inspiring humanity. All right? To cut off the remembrance of them forever from the earth. To cut off the demonic activity from your life. The righteous. All right? Now, verse 17. The word righteous is italicized. The righteous. Now, it says, cry. Cry. Cry here means to proclaim. Proclaim, amen, speak those things, God's word. The Lord, amen, heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are brokenhearted, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you, body of Christ, is cry out unto the Lord. Proclaim God's word, amen, to the Lord. Because that's the only thing that's going to move you in faith, is God's word, not your opinions and views. Not how you feel. All right? So cry out unto the Lord, amen. As it says again in Psalms chapter 62 that I read, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him my salvation, my welfare, my prosperity, my, again, boost, my advance, my development, my expansion, my gain, my growth, my improvement, my increase comes from God. Comes from my salvation, which is Jesus Christ. You see, so what and that's what the Lord wanted me to encourage the body of Christ today is that cry out unto the Lord. Amen. Don't be discouraged no matter what the situation is. Hang on his word. Amen. You see, and that's the thing about waiting. It's not waiting around doing nothing. It's wait thou only. In other words, be in prayer, amen. Stay before God. Make your proclamations. Make your declarations, amen. Bind up the devil. Loose the life of God into your lives. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, so again, it's just something that, again, I'm not really trying to add or build up on what he's already been revealing to me, but again, once again, Jesus Christ and the whole goal was I am the resurrection, I am the life. I'm going to bring you up and I'm going to bring you out, glory to God. And you're going to come into a place in God where you're walking in resurrection life everywhere your goal and your desire, even as Jesus was, even as the Father's desire, is to bring resurrection life everywhere. Life of God. Lift them up. Bring them out of their infirmities and their diseases. Bring them out of their depression, their mental chaos that they're involved in. Bring them out from the grip of the devil. Save them. Amen. As he says here in John chapter 5 again. Man. See if I can get to that one again. John chapter 5. I'm sorry. Here, hold on. Verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the weos quickens whom he will. The sons quicken whom he will. In other words, by the direction of the Spirit, the sons of God are able to resurrect and bring life to the body of Christ and to the world everywhere they go. Amen? And that's what I'm saying to you. Bring life. Bring forces of resurrection everywhere you go, because that's who lives inside us. Now, let's go ahead and start with our outline. It's 9:39 here. Well, we got plenty of time, amen, to cover some scriptures, more scriptures. So we're talking today about, again, the main topic here is divine authority. And this time we're going to discuss lifting the authority. And I alluded to that a minute ago, I think when I was praying, is that something happened when God's covering of protection lifted up from Adam, right? Now they had to face life without any kind of direction or protection from God, any kind of inspiration. It all had to come now from their own souls. They sought to save their lives, their soul, and they lost it. Jesus came and he gave up his suke, his soul, and he gained the life of God, the glory of God. This is the glory of God. Coming into that understanding is that where you now walk in resurrection life. Not after your soul, but after your spirit. So in 2 Corinthians 5, let's see here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? He's going on, and in this particular passage, you know, something happened. Well, let me read a little bit about it. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read a little portion of it in the Amplified Classic here. It says, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 5:5. But if someone, the one among you who committed incest, has caused all this grief and pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, he has distressed all of you. All right? So, and then he says in verse 7, so instead of rebuke now, and you should rather now turn graciously and forgive and comfort and encourage him, right? To keep him from being overwhelmed by excessive sorrow and despair, all right? And then he says in verse 9 that he was writing them to test their attitude and to see if they would stand the test, whether they would be obedient and all agreeable to following his orders in everything. Now, verse 10, if you forgive anyone anything, I'm going to forgive too. And what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sakes in the presence of and with the approval of Christ the Messiah. Paul was a man under authority, amen. And so he says here in verse 11, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. Now, in the message, that same verse 11, after all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. See, in other words, this word here, let's see here. I'm seeing if I have it in the note there. We're not ignorant of his devices. The word devices is the word noema, which means, you know, carefully thought out plans, devising plans, schemes. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to go look at that. Verse 11, we're not ignorant. I'm sorry, 2. We're not ignorant of his devices. The word devices is noema, which is a mental perception or a thought, an evil purpose. That's which thinks the mind, the thought, or the purpose, the perception, the purpose. We're not ignorant of the devices of Satan, the purposes of Satan. And his whole goal, as I've already been sharing, is that all he's wanting to do is cause confusion and destruction and keep mankind under the oppression of their own mind, in condemnation, guilt, right, doubt, unbelief, all these things that cause mankind to go down. Never was mankind meant to go down. We were all meant to go up towards God, amen, in faith toward God. Now, so we're not ignorant of his devices, all right? Now, 1 Corinthians 5, let's go to that real quick. I'm just reading the verses here. In verse 1, he says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, commonly, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. All right. And verse 1-8. Point is that, again, we had a situation here where we had an individual that had his father's wife, and then he reads on in verse 2, and you are all puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you, right? For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye were gathered together, and my spirit with power, with dunamis of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not, all right, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are leavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see? So there was a situation here where Paul said that, you know, you've got to turn this over to Satan. In other words, get him out from the authority of God and deliver him under the authority of Satan, because this guy needs deliverance. And the only way he's going to get it, he's got these attitudes and this way of life that he's conducting has got to be stopped. So that's just another example there. Now, 1 Corinthians 11:3. All right. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, why did God set that structure up? All right. We know in Hebrews 13:1, that all authority is of God. So why did Paul put this here? Well, we need to understand about covering again. Verse 11:10, for this cause ought the woman to have authority on her head because of the angels. You see, if we don't walk and stay under authority, we're going to open the door to the demonic activity. And it's so important in the relationship of the husband and the wife, and the husband being submitted to Christ and so on, and Christ unto the Lord God, unto the Father, that we stay in a maintained order. Now, there's a difference between headship and lordship, right? And I'm over my wife. I'm the head of my wife, but I'm not the Lord of my wife. I can't get her involved in a situation that's involved sin, and because she's got to obey me. That's called lordship. Nobody is given that place to control anybody else. And when there is control in the situation, somebody's trying to control, that's out of order. Period. All right. Now, so there is no authority but God, right? Romans 13:1. Now, all authority, Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. All right. I have all authority now. So, now, Jesus, he delegates authority. In Luke 10:19, behold, I've given unto you authority. All right? Luke 10:19. Let me look at that one. The word power is authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, the dunamis of the enemy is, yes, if you're under the darkness, then he's got dunamis to be able to destroy you. Steal, kill, and destroy. But if you're in the authority of Christ, now you have a different dunamis, and that dunamis and that power comes from God, amen? And that's power to deliver, power to set us free, power to advance us and move us forward. That's resurrection life, amen? Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, all right? He says, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Well, what letteth means to hold back. What is holding back that wicked one? And then shall, verse 8, the wicked one be revealed. In other words, when what is letting the wicked one from having a la carte, anything you want on the buffet, if you will, of humanity. Well, the only thing that's preventing him from taking over in all this demonic realm is the church, the body of Christ in the earth. We're the ones that's saying no to the devil. As long as we're in the earth to do this, then the enemy can't have complete mastery of humanity. All right? Now, something else here, in the mystery of lawlessness, it's already at work. You see, the seeds of the enemy, he doesn't have to be in an individual's life for that individual to be manifesting rebellion, disobedience, unbelief, doubt, chaos, confusion. He doesn't have to have a demonic spirit breathing on him to do all this. It's about seeds, right? Corruptible versus incorruptible seed. All right? And if the seeds are there, then guess what? They're going to keep producing the same results. Therefore, we've got to root out, pull down, throw down, no, destroy, throw down, and then build and plant. We've got to move all that stuff out of the way before we can build on an individual's life related to the kingdom of God. Now, 2 Peter 2:10, 2 Peter 2:10. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now this word, I want to read this in the Message translation. Listen to this. God is especially incensed against these teachers who live by lust, addicted to a filthy existence. They despise interference from true authority. Who are you to tell me? You see? Preferring to indulge in self-rule. Insolent egotists, they don't hesitate to speak evil of the most splendid of creatures. You know, I remember one time, Brother Randy calls them sinister ministers. I remember one time God was directing me on an individual. I think I had a dream. Yeah, I had a dream, and this brother was on my heart heavy, and basically, I told him that he's not an appointment, he's not a shepherd, he's not a pastor, he is a prophet and a minstrel. Well, he didn't like that, and obviously, years later, and you know, the title's there, pastor, but that's not what he is. He doesn't have the grace for that. But the point I'm trying to get at here is that it says here, they despise interference from true authority. He wasn't hearing it from God. He was hearing it from a man. Amen? And that's the issue here is that, you know, God is restoring judges in the earth. Amen? Sons of God that are representing God the Father in their hearts and lives. And there's a reason for this because, you know, God, we're the ones that say yes and no. All right? And so, again, you know, they despise government. They don't want to hear anything from God the Father in the aspect of God sending someone to someone else. They're bringing the word of the Lord to you, and you just close your ears to it. They despise all that. And the word despise here is the word kataphroneo, which means to think against, to disesteem. Kata's down, phroneo's to think or exercise the mind. So they think or disesteem. In other words, they discredit or belittle authority, governments, everywhere they go. Now, governments is the word corrientes, mastery, ruler, supreme, and authority. So they despise governments. They despise anybody that represents authority in any form because they are their own authority. All right. Now, so despise dominion. Jude verse 8. I'm going to read that in the Message. Redeem the time a little. Oh, man, I got to pull back here. Verse 6, and you know the story of the angels who didn't stick to their post. So when you're under authority, it's in your heart to want to do the right thing, right, and maintain whatever has been given to you. Well, these guys, Scripture says the angels that left their own posts abandoned it for other darker missions. But they are now chained and jailed in a black hole until the great judgment day. Sodom and Gomorrah, which went to sexual wreck and ruin along the surrounding cities that acted just like them, are another example, burning and burning and never burning up. They serve still as the stock warning. This is exactly the same program of these latest infiltrators. Dirty sex, rule and rulers thrown out, glory dragged in the mud. Let's look at that in the King James a little bit here. Likewise, these filthy dreamers, likewise also, defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. They're not afraid to speak evil of authorities. They're not afraid to speak evil of bosses and individuals that are in authority in any place. They're not afraid to speak evil of any of this. They don't care about the law. They don't care about the rules. They don't care about anything that's glorified by the Lord. They're going to immediately despise it and bring it down. They don't want to hear all that mess to them. Now, they despise. This word is to set aside, to neutralize, to reject. So if I despise you, I neutralize you. I reject you. And the word dominion is the word same as the word governments earlier, 29:63. Despise dominion. Despise dominion, powers, lords, masters, everywhere they go. Amen. And then it says here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. You know, the Bible's real clearly in Hebrews here. He tells us that what son is he when the father doesn't correct? Right? Let's start with verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, weos, fully matured. My weos, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. So the couple of things that can happen there when you get corrected is you can faint, all right? And it means you just give up. Oh, man, really? And this is when the Lord loves, he corrects and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure correction, God deals with you as with a son. For what son is he when the father doesn't correct? He's a bastard. In other words, he doesn't have an origin in his father. The father may have birthed him, but he has no father that trained and corrected him in his life. It can be a woman too, a man or a woman. The point is that you grew up without authority. You grew up without covering. And because of this, you're wide open to the devil. So, I'm not going to read all these. Well, maybe I will. What time is it? No, 9:57. So, I'm going to allude to this, and then we'll pick it up next time we're together. But the spirit of rebellion, right, the Korah company. You know, Korah took it upon himself with Korah, Nathan, and Abiram, I think their names are. And they made a decision and said, you know what? We're priests too. God can use us. God can speak through us. They didn't realize that they were starting out in the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude, despising authority, speaking evil of dignities. And it's exactly what happened is that they were swallowed up by the earth. The covering was lifted. And all of a sudden, they got taken, a whole bunch of people, like 22,000, I think. And to try to teach us and help us understand it, later on, we know that let's see here, Numbers 17:10. I want to read that one. Numbers 17:10. Right? The Old Testament was written for our example. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me that they may die, that they die. In other words, the rod of authority was given so that we, one thing is the testimony against rebels. When there's lawlessness, amen, we have the authority of God to pull back the covering. That's a pretty heavy situation there. And again, the Word of God very clearly tells us, clearly teaches us for a token against the rebels. Amen. And remember that again, we're trying, again, after all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening or an advantage for more mischief over us. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. Amen. And authority, again, is given to us for our edification, to build us up, to strengthen us, to protect us. Why did God want to establish authority back over his people? Because he loves us and he wanted to protect us against the darkness and the evil one. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this precious time. I thank you for your precious word, Father. I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God, and how that you're not a man that you should lie, and neither are you the son of man that you should repent, Father. I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name for teaching us, Father, and helping us understand, Lord God, the revelation of authority and why it's so important, Father God, and understanding what lifting the authority means. And I thank you, Father, for your people and all those that are partaking and that will partake, Father, this precious bread of life, Jesus Christ. We bless you, Father, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lift up a standard on the windswept mountains, raise your voice to them. Wave your hands that they may enter through the doors of noble men. Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst is the
The right hand of the Lord who is valued. is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous.
Praise you, Lord. Let's shout unto the Lord together. Praise you, Lord God. The shouts of the Lord are in your dwelling, Father. Hallelujah. We shout your victory today, Lord Jesus.